I call this meeting the Property Tax Division to order pursuant to Rule 10.01. The first order of business is that we need a roll call to determine who's present. The clerk, Mr. Peterson, will now take the roll.
Chair Joaquin?
Present.
Joaquin present. Vice Chair Gomez?
Present.
Gomez present. Representative Hertas?
Hertas present.
Hertas present. Representative Anderson? Representative Anderson, Representative Becker Finn is excused. Representative Fisher is excused. Representative Green?
Present.
Green present. Representative Hassan?
Hassan is present.
Hassan present. Representative Herr?
Present.
Herr present. Representative Marquardt?
Present.
Marquardt present. Representative Mortensen?
Present.
Mortensen present. Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski present.
Pulowski present. Representative Torkelson. Representative Torkelson. Representative Anderson.
Here.
Anderson present. Representative Torkelson. That concludes the roll, and there's a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I want to thank folks for being here today, too. I know this is not our normal committee slot, so I appreciate it. I want to note that all the committee documents for today have been sent to members and are on the committee page on the House website. The first item of the agenda is the approval of the minutes from March 3rd. Representative Marquardt, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I did. I will make a motion to approve those minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Marquardt moves the minutes for March 3rd. Anybody have any questions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those, please unmute yourself. All those in favor of approving the minutes for March 3rd, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. The amendments for March 3rd are adopted. I just also want to note that Representative Torkelson is excused and Representative Hassan is present. So members, we are now going into the wonderful world of local option sales tax again. And this time we travel way up north to represent Murphy's district. And the first bill on the agenda is House File 1301. Can I get a motion to move House File 1301 before the division?
I'll move, Madam Chair.
Representative Herr moves that House File 1301 be before the division. So now we have the bill before us. Representative Murphy, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the hearing for House File 1301, which is virtually the same, no, not virtually, but which is the same bill that we presented before COVID in 2020. We're still trying to get sales tax for recreational use and the city of Hermantown is here. The mayor of the city of Hermantown is here, and John Mulder, our city administrator, and Joe Wicklund are here if there's any questions that the mayor or I can't answer.
Thank you. So, Mayor Boucher, go ahead, state your name for the record and proceed.
Mayor Wayne Boucher, City of Hermantown. And thank you, Madam Chair and Committee, for agreeing to hear our request today. Our request is for a local sales tax. It's for a recreational initiative. Our three component projects are focused on improving regional health outcomes through recreational opportunities for the whole community and surrounding area. The first is a regional trail crossing Hermantown, starting at the recently built Wellness Center to the Munger Trail through Proctor and beyond. That is roughly $4 million of the project. The reimagining of Fichtner Park, Hermantown Central Park, as a more accessible gathering space with baseball, softball, basketball, skateboarding, other amenities, and a passive park. That is roughly another $4 million. An additional sheet of ice for the area for our burgeoning youth hockey program. Our youth program has outlived and outgrown its co-occupancy with the high school arena, and our players are currently practicing in Carleton and Superior, Wisconsin, as late as 10 or 10:30 at night. That is roughly $11 million, and this is basically for youth hockey and not above that level. This arena itself would put $13.3 million into the economy over a two-year period, would employ 280 people. This entire project it's not feasible for us to fund this under local property taxes. This would cause a roughly 25% increase in local property taxes to be funded that way. We've currently received more than 1,000 surveys from over 10% of our population. All three projects have earned support of more than 50% of the respondents. Now, this survey was just completed March 1st and is not fully compiled, so these numbers are preliminary. If we grow and improve, health impacts and economic impact for the entire region benefits. The economic impact of this initiative is estimated at $3.5 million per year. Sales tax, we feel, is the most feasible option for funding this in Hermantown. We ask you to allow the Hermantown voters themselves to make the final decision on this in November of 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Murphy, do you have anything to add before we go to member questions?
I would just like to add that to me, the most important part of this is the spur from the Munger Trail to the Proctor Trail, which isn't in existence either, and to this Hermantown Trail, which will pretty well cross our city. And we don't have a trail. We grew out of a township, and we have been a city since 1976. And since that time, our population has more than doubled. And people are thinking, well, why isn't there a trail? Why do we have to walk on the busy road? And streets in some new developed areas. And so I really, before I die, I would like to ride my bicycle to the Munger Trail on a trail. Not that I'm planning on dying, because I'm well, very well.
Well, that's a relief. Thank you for qualifying that. Members, do I see any questions for Representative Murphy or Mayor Bouchard?
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, or Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. I'm not seeing any questions. So members, Representative Herr renews her motion that House File 1301 be laid over for possible inclusion in a division report. The bill is laid over. Thank you, Representative Murphy.
Thanks so much.
Next up, we have House File 1179 from Representative Edelson. Can I get a motion to move House File 1179 before the division?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Representative Hassan moves House File 1179 before the division. With that, Representative Edelson, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's good to see all of you. It's a beautiful day outside. I just got in briefly. 1179 allows the city of Edina to impose a 0.5% local option sales tax if approved by the voters at Edina in a general election. The use of the tax would fund three different projects that I'm going to let our mayor and our city manager tell you more about. Redundancy can be a little overwhelming. The bill will give the city also bonding authority, and it will set a 20-year limit, which could be ended earlier by the council by a city ordinance. So, Madam Chair, at this time, I'd like to move to my testifiers. The mayor of Edina is here, Mr. Hovland, and as well as our city manager, Scott Neal.
Mayor Hovland, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed. Mayor, I believe you're on mute.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. It was, as an elected official, as you were voting, it was hard not to vote along with you. Caught up in all of the activities of being an elected official, I thought, oh, I'm missing something I should be doing here. So again, I'm Jim Hovland. I'm the mayor of Edina. With me is Scott Neal, our city manager. We have some projects with regional implications, regional use that we need to see if the legislature will give us permission to be able to go to our voters to approve them, approve a local option sales tax with respect to those particular projects. I'd say the project that maybe most are familiar with would be the Braemar Ice Arena, which for years was kind of the gem of the state in terms of a hockey facility. And over time, you know, things start to wear out and show their age. And we've got about $13.5 million worth of infrastructure improvements that need to be done at the Braemar Ice Arena. And you might say, well, why can't Edina take care of that itself? But in fairness, I think I can tell you that from March of 19 to March of 2020, there were about 500,000 visits recorded at Braemar Ice Arena from residents of 158 Minnesota communities, 12 states, and one other country. So when we think about a sales tax that will not only potentially affect our own residents, but those that are visiting Edina, we think it's fair that consideration be given to the fact that others are using these facilities as well. And I think that's a really important consideration here. The other two projects, one is a master plan for Fred Richards Park, which is a 43-acre park in the southern part of Edina that also has local and regional implications. It's presently the home for the Nine Mile Creek or a portion of the Nine Mile Creek Regional Trail. It gets a tremendous amount of use. I think Three Rivers Park District indicated that it had 435,000 visits to the trail in 2019, many of those through Edina. And so as we think about improving that park for the use of not only our own residents, but for those that are using it on a regional basis, this is an important element of that consideration as well. And one of the prime reasons we thought about local option sales tax versus some other method of funding these improvements that needed to be made. The last facility is what we call Weber Woods Park and Stormwater Facility. It was a former public work site for the city of Minneapolis, right across France Avenue from the city of Minneapolis. They were going to sell it off for housing. The city of St. Louis Park and the city of Edina got together to be able to purchase that property so that residents of all three cities could continue to enjoy the park-like amenities there, including walking their dogs. And there needs to be some improvements made there as well that would then have implications on a broader basis for St. Louis Park residents, Minneapolis residents, and our own residents as well. In this era where we're experiencing an increase in water, it also allows us to focus on some of the stormwater improvements that need to be made for the area. So just as a reminder, Edina is a city that typically and historically has been used to taking care of itself and helping with others. And we continue to do that. We do not get any local government aid, and we are one of the top five net contributors to fiscal disparities. So we're used to helping others and reaching out and making sure that everybody in our state prospers, that every citizen prospers, every community has the advantage of being able to get the things done that they need to get done. And we're more than happy to help out. This is a situation where we need a little help ourselves to have the legislature allow us with these regional projects to be able to go back to our voters and say, does this make sense? Are you willing to impose a local sales tax on yourselves to get all of these important projects done that have not only local but regional implications? So that's kind of a broad overview. Now I'm going to turn quickly to our city manager who can take you through those projects in a little bit more detail with respect to the expense elements of them. So thank you for your time today, for your consideration. We're greatly appreciative of the chair's time, of the committee members' time, and we request your respectful consideration of our request. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Hovland. Mr. Neal, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Scott Neal. I'm the city manager in Edina, and I will not repeat much of what the mayor said. He did a very good job of explaining kind of the big picture of these respective projects. One of the things I would add to the discussion is that, you know, one of the principles of tax fairness is do the users pay? Do the users of a public facility, are they making a contribution to its upkeep, both on an operational and capital basis? And, you know, a lot of cities that have come before you have probably done the same thing that we've done, and that is that we did a service contract with the University of Minnesota Extension Service to get an idea about how our local economy or how our local retail economy would respond if there was a local option sales tax opportunity. So we have some data that shows what that market area is for our retail, local retail economy. And if you take that market area, the geographic size of it, and sort of put it on top of the market area for Braemar Arena or for the future Fred Richards Park, they're remarkably similar. And from a standpoint of tax fairness, we think that's good, that the folks who use these facilities would also get to pay for them. Without a local option sales tax, it would fall to the property taxpayers of Edina to pay for these projects, and it would be a major lift for us to bring that level of tax necessary to our voters for that kind of consideration as well.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Members, do we actually, Representative Edelson, any quick comments before we go to member questions?
No, Madam Chair, we're ready for questions.
Thank you. Members, any questions? I think I'll start out. Oh, Representative Hertaz, you go first, and I'll ask. Representative Hertaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Edelson, for bringing your bill forward. Mayor Hovland, good to see you again.
Yes, you too, Representative Hertaz. Nice to see you on the screen.
You mentioned $13 million for Braemar. That leaves about $28 million of the $43 million request. Is there an allocation of the other two parks? Is that equal or unequal?
The Fred Richards.
Mayor Hovland.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hertaz. The Fred Richards Park Master Plan is about $17.7 million. The Weber Woods Park project that would affect and be beneficial to St. Louis Park, Edina, and Minneapolis is $2 million. And then the Braemar Park Master Plan, including the Braemar Arena Complex, is $21.6
million. Representative Hertaz, follow-up.
Yes, thank you. I guess I had written down $13 million, so there must be another component of that. Another question to the mayor or the city manager. What is the total net capacity of the city of Edina?
Mr. Neal or Representative Holland?
The total net tax capacity. I can tell you that the estimated market value of the city is a little over $13 billion. And the number for our net tax capacity just escapes me right now, but the estimated market value I know because I was just looking at it this morning.
Representative Hertaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that information. That's a question I've been asking our suburban districts often, and of course it plays a little bit into communities' ability to levy taxes for some of their projects within their own tax base. Thank you.
Representative Hertaz, as a follow-on, I can tell you that having done this now for a few years with our city council, about every $300,000 worth of revenue is a 1% general levy increase. So here we're looking at about $41.13 million worth of potential projects. And you can quickly determine that the implications on that essentially a 3% increase at $1 million, and we're looking for $40 million worth of projects to be done here. It is indeed a heavy lift, as our city manager says.
Representative Hertaz, follow-up?
Yes, thank you. And I wasn't looking so much as to levying the money to pay cash, but what your bonding capacity is and the ability to service that debt. But thank you for that reply.
And then my quick question, too, could you go into a little more detail about the project at Fred Richards Park?
I can do that, Madam Chair. Scott Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Thank you. The project at Fred Richards Park, Remember that the Fred Richards Park is a former golf course that we are repurposing. It was, we started the repurposing process about 5 years ago. And so part of the first part of that process when the golf course was decommissioned was the addition of the Nine Mile Creek Regional Bike Trail through essentially kind of bisecting the 40 acres into two pieces. So that has already been done. If you want to ride your bike through there, you can ride your bike almost all the way from Hopkins to Richfield on that trail, and we're really proud of it. The project that we're envisioning is part of a larger master plan for Fred Richards Park, which is really to rewild that park. It is to add natural features to it, both water and plant. It is to create a central green area that people could use for just hanging out or for organized sports if they wish. But it really is a lot of land grading and surface restoration that centralize around a current bike path, and also kind of the repurposing of what used to be an old clubhouse there, as well as potentially a new trailhead for this trail.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'll have to get a little further on the trail. I've only got as far as Lake Edina, which I had never known there was a Lake Edina. Members, any other questions?
Madam Chair, if anybody wants to know where I got this great carved loon over my left shoulder or my right shoulder, you can. I can tell you it was up in Fergus Falls. So if anybody can see it.
Thank you, Mayor Hufflin. I have my cat on my chair behind me, or not today. Usually she is. So without any member, seeing no other member questions, Representative Edelson, do you have a final comments?
I just want to thank members for their time today and thank you for your consideration. And it's really good to see all of you. And I hope you get outside today because it's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. With that, Representative Hassan renews her motion that House File 1179 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. Next up, we have House File 1610 from Representative Poston. Can I get a motion to move House File 1610 before the division?
Don't move.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves House File 1610 before the division. And with that, Representative Poston, to your bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Joaquim and members. I am going to leave my camera off because I'm struggling a little bit with my connection. The City of Wadena is looking for local option sales tax approval to raise $3 million for the Wadena Library Rehabilitation Project. And with me today to talk about that project, I have the Wadena City Administrator, Jeanette Bauer. So I'd like Jeanette to explain what's going on in Wadena.
Thank you, Representative Poston. Ms. Bauer, please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hi, I'm Jeanette Bauer. I'm the City Administrator from City of Wadena. And with me is Mayor George Dice. And Mayor, would you like to start?
I can.
Mayor Dice, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Okay. My name is George Dice. I'm Mayor of Wadena. And thank you, Chair Joaquim and members of the board. We are proposing asking our citizens if they would be willing to accept a local sales tax to fund renovation of a former bank building into our new library. The current location that we are in, the library is unable to be added on to because of the way it was constructed and the size of the property. With this building that we have now to renovate, it would more than double the size of our current library, just counting the main floor, not counting the full basement that is underneath it. Our hope is to also have put a elevator in to make both floors accessible, handicap bathrooms at both levels. Our library is the only library in Wadena County. We are a member of the Kichigami Regional Library. A couple of our outlying communities are served by the Kichigami Bookmobile, but they do not have a library facility of their own. We're also more of a regional library, as we serve the citizens of Todd and Otter Tail County also.
Thank you, Mary Tice. Ms. Bauer, did you want to add anything?
Thank you. We have significant fundraising efforts going on right now, and we've been able to raise some funds, and we will continue to do so. We just would like to have the option to the authority to place this on, it would be our 2022 general election ballot. And like I said, we plan to continue with our fundraising efforts and, you know, hope to succeed with the fundraising, but if there's any gap, we would like to have this authority.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer. Representative Poston, do you have anything to add before we go to member questions?
Sure, you, Joaquim, I would just say thank you for letting us present our bill today, and I would hope for your support.
Thank you, Representative Poston. Members, do we have any questions? I'll kick one off. I have a quick one. I noticed that you're only doing a 0.25. It's a smaller project at $3 million, but over 20 years, have you thought about doing a 0.5 and doing it for fewer years? Either Ms. Bauer or Mayor Tice?
We have considered it, and I think part of the reason why we chose to go with a smaller amount, less impact on the for the tax, we do recognize for it's a longer period of time. And as I said, part of it is that we do hope to raise over half the funds so that it actually wouldn't be the 20 years. It would be quite a bit shorter.
Yep.
Thank you. Mayor Tice, did you have something to answer?
Nope.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Representative Poston, I don't see any other. Oh, I have Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for that last comment to reply, because you centered on what my question would be, too. I thought I heard in the presentation that you were doing a fundraising effort as well, so you're looking at doing some matching here and are just looking for this small percent, be a little bit of insurance to make sure that you can pay the debt off rather quickly. I'm presuming then between what you raise and sales tax at a 0.25%, if you didn't raise any money and you amortize that over 20 years, that'd be $150,000 a year. But if you're raising half of that, it looks like you could probably end this tax in the shorter period of time, like Chair Joaquim had mentioned, probably 10 years plus.
Great. Thank you, Representative Hertas. Ms. Bauer or Mayor, do you have anything else to add?
Other than, yes, we do agree with Representative Hertas. That is our thought process with this.
Thank
and
you.
And Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hertas.
Thank you. And this is exactly the type of loss provisions that I like to see come in, where there's a shared gain for it. So thank you for your presentation. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Seeing no further member questions, Representative Poston, any final comments?
Chair Yu, Joaquim, just again, thank you for the time, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you. With that, Representative Mark Hort renews his motion that House File 1610 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. Next up, we have House File 187 from Representative Lilly. Can I get a motion to move House File 187 before the division?
Madam Chair, I'll move House File 187 to be considered for possible inclusion in a division report.
Thank you. Representative Hertas moves House File 187 before the division. And I noticed that you do have an author's amendment labeled A1. Representative Hertas, could you move that author's amendment as well?
I'll move, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hertas moves the A1 amendment before the committee. Representative Lilly, could you briefly describe the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The amendments aligning the date of to this current year with the bill. So it's pretty straightforward. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. With that, members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, members will do a voice vote. Please unmute your microphones. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. We have the bill before us now. Representative Lilly, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's great to be on your committee, and thank you for hearing this today. Oakdale's a great community. It's literally just minutes away from the Capitol. If you hopped on Highway 94, you're 5-10 minutes, depending on traffic, you're there. Towards Wisconsin, but definitely don't want to cross over and go to Wisconsin. But anyways, it's a great little community, and kind of like what the mayor of Edina was saying, it's a city that really doesn't come down to the Capitol to ask for help very much. And here's an opportunity to help this community that's just needs a little bit with and I'm going to have the city manager and or city administrator and the mayor talk in more detail, but they need help with a little bit of help with the sales tax. So I have Mayor Ranke and Ms. Vogler, and hopefully they can get into more detail, but really thank you for hearing us today and considering this for your bill coming forward this session. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Mayor Ranke, we'll toss it over to you. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. And thank you also, Representative Lilly, for authoring the bill. For the record, my name is Paul Ranke, and I'm the mayor of Oakdale. So on behalf of the city, we do appreciate the opportunity to present our local sales tax proposal to you today. Madam Chair, city staff and our city council have worked diligently over the last few years to develop and refine this proposal. We believe strongly that the two capital projects that would be funded by this local sales tax proposal are critically important to the future growth and security of our community. We have explored other funding mechanisms for both projects, and we have concluded that the local option sales tax is the preferred method to fund both the construction of a new public works facility and the complete modernization of our police station. While raising taxes is rarely a preferred option, I'd like to share that Oakdale is not averse to raising property taxes and in fact does so annually. However, the cost of these two capital projects would be a significant burden on the property taxpayers in Oakdale, and thus we've been forced to find other funding mechanisms. I am committed to working with my colleagues on the City Council, our city staff, and our local partners to provide a strong educational campaign to our local voters at the next general election should this provision be included in the final tax bill this year. I'm also pleased to report that additional bodies support this proposal, including the City of Landfall and the Washington County Commissioner Stan Kowalski. For more specific details, I will turn our testimony over to Christina Volkers, our city administrator, and I will remain available for committee questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Ranke. Ms. Volkers, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chris Volkers. I'm the city administrator for the city of Oakdale. I hope that you've had a chance to see our handout, which does describe our request as well as the associated two capital projects that we're going to be discussing here. Oakdale is excited to be presenting these two critical capital projects for your consideration to be funded with a 0.5% sales tax. According to the bill before you, this tax would generate approximately $37 million to fund a new public works facility and a refurbished police station. The tax would blink off after 25 years or earlier if the revenues were generated to fund these projects, to finish financing these projects. I will briefly describe the two projects for you. The police station is going to be refurbished. We have a current City Hall combined police facility right now. It was built about 30 years ago. It's a $15 million project to refurbish that facility. At the time, it was built for the size of the need in the early 1990s, and now there just isn't enough space or separation for all the officers. And I'll give you a specific example, female officers. We've grown significantly in that area. We have a very large number of female officers, and the current building just doesn't have enough for all genders. And so the new building will address that. The current building also doesn't allow for inside parking, which, you know, with police cars and vehicles, that isn't a very important need for our community. It has been identified as one of the top priorities for the police vehicles in regards to the wear and tear, the preparation, the urgency when they're sitting outside under snow and need to be warmed up. And the new building will have proper inside parking facilities. Regarding regional significance, I won't repeat what the mayor said, but I'm going to highlight that along with the public works facility below. But I do want to point out for the public works facility, that is a $22 million project. This facility is even older than the police facility at 35 years. It is crowded, outdated, and actually has structural and health hazards. There's this black stuff coming through the vents, which is attaching to the walls. And that's just a pretty significant thing when, as we've looked at it and had people look at how to fix it, the cost is cost prohibitive to do so, to redo the entire HVAC and internal systems. Our public works department itself has grown significantly with 29 parks, facilities, and 90 miles of street to maintain. So I'd like to roll into the regional benefit real quick. Oakdale serves about 40,000 people each day. We have nearly 12,000 jobs in the city, but most of those jobs are filled by non-residents. So nearly 200,000 vehicles travel each day on the 27 miles in of state and regional roadways through Oakdale. And about 70% of Part 1 and Part 2 arrests made in Oakdale by the police department are for non-residents. That's based on 2019 and 20 data, so that's hot off the press. That's 70% of the arrests are non-residents because we serve so many non-residents in Oakdale. Oakdale Police participates and supports many regional efforts, such as the Washington County SWAT team, Global Field Force, East Metro Readiness Group, East Metro Sex Trafficking Task Force, and many, many more. So that those are all significant as we make the regional benefit argument. The Oakdale Public Works, we do provide sewer and water to several neighboring communities such as Landfall, Lake Elmo, Maplewood, and North St. Paul. And the final comment I'll make about that is the Oakdale Water Treatment Plant, as you know, has been involved in the 3M settlement for that contaminated PFAS contaminated groundwater, and several downstream communities do get their groundwater from that. So we are in the middle of that, and we need to make sure that our public works facility is able to treat and manage that. The Gold Line BRT, we're fortunate enough to have that Gold Line rapid transit bus system coming to and through Oakdale. We'll have two public transit stations by 2024, and that'll add even more traffic and more non-residents to the city. Finally, a couple things. A recent study showed that non-residents accounted for approximately 37% of retail sales for the city of Oakdale. And so if this half percent sales tax is implemented, the city of Oakdale will have a total of 7.625% for the sales tax. So Madam Chair, members of the committee, we believe that this proposal represents a reasonable mechanism to fund these two critical and regionally benefited properties, capital projects. And we ask for your support in our efforts to bring this before the local voters. I stand with Mayor Reinke for any questions from the committee. And I also have with me the Oakdale Police Chief and the Public Works Director, if there are any specific technical questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Volkers. I want to note that Representative Fisher is here. And Ms. Volkers, if you could mute yourself, we're hearing an echo. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Volkers. I want to note that Representative Fisher is also here in committee. And then members, do we have any questions for either Ms. Volkers, the mayor, or Representative Lilly? Representative Hertaus.
It's Ed Hertaus again. Same question. What is your net tax capacity? And maybe you might comment on the size of your general fund budget also.
Ms. Volkers or Representative Lilly, either one.
Ms. Volkers.
Ms. Volkers.
Okay, Madam Chair, Representative Hertaus. Our tax capacity is about 32-33%. And our general fund budget is about $14 million.
Representative Hertaus, follow up.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And with regard to your police and public work Brooks facilities. I'm somewhat familiar with Oakdale, but do you have any pilot stations, police stations, or is it just one centralized police station?
Ms. Volkers.
Madam Chair, Representative Hertas, we have one centralized police facility right in the middle of town and right attached to City Hall. No outstate ones or outlying ones.
Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I noticed the 2021 certification for local government aid is a payment that Oakdale does receive. Looks like you're on track for about $262,000 this year. So I think much of the intent of local government aid is to take care of some of those most basic services that you are here asking for additional money for. Would the $262,000 of LGA from your general fund budget service the debt on the improvements that you're trying to make here?
Ms. Volkers or the mayor?
Madam Chair, Representative Hertoff. Yes, it would actually. So the payments will be upwards of $1.5 million for the bond payment over 25 years. And that $260,000 will contribute towards that, yes.
Representative Hertas.
Thank you for those replies, and I'm finished, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Lilly, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's great that you've heard this bill, and hopefully you can help out Oakdale. They really don't ask much at the legislature, and it'd just be nice to, you know, it's nice to hear it and nice if you can help us. So thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. Thank you, testifiers. And Representative Hertas renews his motion that House File 187 is amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The next bill on the agenda is House File 584 from Representative Sandsteed. Can I get a motion to move House File 584 before the committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Representative Herr has moved House File 584 before the division. So Representative Sandsteed, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 584 allows the City of Floodwood to impose a 0.5% local sales tax to fund their citywide street and infrastructure project. The proposal would be put before voters and, if approved, would enable the city to raise up to $1.25 million plus bond costs to improve streets and related infrastructure. For those of you who are not familiar with Floodwood, Floodwood is a very small community in St. Louis County with a population of only 449 people. It's extremely property tax poor, which limits the capacity of the city to embark upon any significant infrastructure investments. In last year's bonding bill, we were able to help Floodwood out with an investment in their wastewater treatment ponds, which were failing and putting residents' health in jeopardy. Similarly, their roads and bridges are deteriorating with expensive obligations coming up. Failing to invest in upkeep might be an option, but it's not one that the residents deserve. While there aren't any easy solutions, a local sales tax is one that will make the biggest difference without the sticker shock of property tax hikes that residents would struggle to afford. Regardless of whether you come from a community of 400 or 400,000, Minnesotans should expect safe, modern transportation infrastructure. And I hope that you can support me in this effort today. With me, I have the mayor from Floodwood, Dave DeNoyer.
Mayor, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Dave DeNoyer. I'm the mayor of Floodwood. The city of Floodwood is requesting authorization for a 0.5-cent sales tax. The proceeds from the sales tax would be used for citywide infrastructure. Existing streets and underlying infrastructure are old, dilapidated, and outlive their useful life. This project is the number one priority for the city of Floodwood. It is estimated that the proceeds from the sales tax would enable us to leverage additional local, state, and federal funds. And I do understand that using local sales taxes to pay for infrastructure is not a standard practice this year, but Floodwood has unique needs and that our surrounding communities and others in the state do not have. Our medium household income is $33,274, whereas St. Louis County's medium household income is $53,344, and the state medium household income is $74,593. A large portion of our city is tax-exempt property. State, county, school, district, church, this, that, and so we don't have a massive tax base to generate from. But we are centrally located between Duluth and Hermantown, Proctor area, Cloquet, Scanlon, and the Grand Rapids hitting Virginia. We're about 40 miles from each location, almost in the dead center. Due to our geographic location, Floodwood serves as a regional hub for two major highways, one being U.S. Highway 2 and the other State Highway 73, which is the gateway to the Iron Range in northeast Minnesota. We serve as a hub, regional hub for the MnDOT truck station, DNR Forestry, St. Louis County Public Works, Arrowhead Transit, to show what a regional impact that our little town covers. Our fire department serves 288 square miles alone. Our ambulance district serves 320 square miles, and our school district serves 317 square miles. Floodwood services and training, which provide services for people struggling with mental health challenges, they cover a 40-mile radius of Floodwood. And we also have Floodwood as medical and dental clinics that are designated to serve the underserved patients throughout northeast Minnesota. Currently, most of the communities that surround Floodwood have a sales tax now. Some are greater than others, but most of them have a sales tax. And these communities would be Hermantown, Duluth, Cloquet, I believe Scanlon, Virginia, and I see our neighbors to the 35 miles to the west, Grand Rapids, always has they have a bill in this year. And this puts our community at a disadvantage and allows communities with the sales tax to advance their community needs. We would like to have the opportunity to compete with our neighboring communities and provide the infrastructure for new, which would give us new housing, new community jobs, and bring the medium household incomes up. We'd like, you know, now with that said, we would like to work with the community and the chair in a final bill that fits your standards being set for local sales taxes while still meeting Floodwood's needs. We have worked with our community, kept them informed of our progress, and we do expect a favorable response. And we ask that you let our voters decide. So the city is requesting the legislature to approve our request.
Thank you, Mayor. Representative Sansi, before I go to member questions, any comments? We're going to go to member questions, and then as with all our bills, we've opened it up for anybody that wanted to sign up to testify. So after member questions to Representative Sanstead and Mayor DeMore, we have Jake Benson signed up as well. But first, some member questions. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the mayor, I understand your situation. I'm from a small town myself, not quite as small as Floodwood, but I understand some of the challenges. One of those being small towns don't have a real large retail base with which to generate much significant dollars to a sales tax. Could you talk just a minute about what kind of a retail base you have in your city that's going to generate the sales tax revenues you're looking for?
Sure, Madam Chair and Representative Anderson. Pardon?
Oh, Mayor DeNore, go ahead.
Yep. Madam Chair and Representative Anderson, you know, we have, I'm guessing close to 30 commercial businesses. Because we're a remote area, we actually have a fairly decent commercial district. Like small towns, any small town businesses come and go. But the majority of them are, you know, that we've talked to and what are very much in favor of this.
Representative Anderson, follow up. Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mayor DeNoyer, thank you for your presentation. I also have concerns, as Representative Anderson expressed, about small towns and your ability to service the debt. You mentioned now that you have about 30 businesses. 400 folks living in town probably equates to something around 200 homes. It's not a lot of rooftops. Could you tell me a little bit about the size of your general fund budget in the city of Floodwood?
Mayor DeNoyer.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative, we have our budget, I believe, is around $800,000 a year. That covers what we spend in police, fire, maintenance, this and that. And the reason we actually need to do this, you know, because small cities, there's really no dedicated funding for small cities when it comes for instance, street repair. You know, the way it's set up, that cities over 5,000 get automatic funding. The rest gets funneled through counties, and which very seldom gets generated down to a small city. So we don't have really the funding option without this.
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for greater clarity on what your finances are. I note also that your certified LGA is about $172,000 for 2021. That's not quite 25% of your budget, but distributing the rest of your general fund budget against what you're able to levy, you know, certainly probably is a little bit above the average with regard to local property tax. So thank you for that information.
I had a quick question too. You did mention in your presentation, and thank you for being so thorough, you mentioned that you have some property that is not taxable. Could you go over those quick again, just so I know?
Well, like many small cities, you know, we have a state Department of Transportation, quite a large area it takes up in our city. They're tax exempt. The DNR forestry would be tax exempt. St. Louis County maintenance buildings are tax exempt. Churches are tax exempt. School property is tax exempt. The railroad is tax exempt. We have a limited base to draw from. So actually our tax rate is fairly high for our community. So this would be, you know, a mechanism that would spread the cost out and still give us the infrastructure we need.
Thank you, Mayor. And I'll ask this question too, because I was wondering, since you do have such few commercial properties, had you thought about doing a 1% and then cutting it shorter to hope that you can get the money a little bit faster for your project?
Madam Chair, we have. I've tried this over in my mind many times, but, you know, I want to be fair to the local taxpayers, and I would like to work with our state representative. And, yes, that is an option, and probably a more favorable option, because all our surrounding communities, I believe, have at least 1%.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, any other questions for the mayor or Representative Sanstee before I go to Mr. Benson?
Madam Chair, I would just...
Yes, Representative, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I would just comment, you know, on some of these smaller local street projects, when you're amortizing the cost out for 25, because that's the useful life of street. So you basically start all over again. So to your point, Madam Chair, about accelerating paying off the debt, and establishing kind of a local street plan where you're salting away a little bit of money each year. When the streets are improved, generally, at least how we do it here in the city, part of the improvement is assessed to the local property owner. because it does inure to the benefit of the property owner in terms of the value of the property and the value of the home. If you've got a new street in front of you as opposed to one that's crumbling and absent of paving. So there's all sorts of different ways to approach this, but I appreciate the plight that you're faced with given the low number of rooftops and the need to fix things. But as a past mayor, I know what you're talking about, and there's been a complaint in my own city about establishing a comprehensive plan to inventory all of your streets and know that each year you're going to do a little bit of an improvement and just kind of keep that on a perpetual maintenance plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hertaz. As I said before, we've had a member of the public sign up to testify. Mr. Benson, can you please state your name for the record and then proceed?
Thank you. I have trouble unmuting myself. I'm Jake Benson. On your agenda, it states I'm a Proctor City Councilor, and while I am, I'm addressing you today as a Flagwood business person and publisher of the 84-year-old Flagwood Forum. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for allowing me to testify on House File 584. As a former mayor, former chamber president, current counselor, I could attest that 584 is a needed step to help Flagwood fund their infrastructure. 584 will allow voters the opportunity to determine how their infrastructure should and could be funded. Property taxes and assessments will not come close to cover the needed cost. It also gives the voters an opportunity of self-determination. Flagwood, as the mayor said, is encircled by cities that have or are asking for sales tax. Down the road, there's Grand Rapids and Itasca County proposing a sales tax. In the other direction, there's Cloquet asking for a sales tax. Duluth and Proctor already have a local option sales tax. Earlier, you heard House File 1301, where Hermantown's asking to modify their sales tax. I own a business there also, and I endorse 1301. As Flagwood's watchdog, I have empathy for those selling as well as those buying. 508 will allow Flagwood residents another opportunity to support local businesses, because supporting our Flagwood businesses should be first and foremost for our elected officials and our residents. Thank you, Madam Chair, for this consideration and the opportunity to address House File 504.
Thank you, Mr. Benson. Members, any question for Mr. Benson? Seeing none, Representative Sandsteed, final comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to say a special thank you to my testifiers today and to the committee for hearing this bill. I do really want to impress upon you the uniqueness of this small community. As I have been in the legislature, I have heard quite a bit about some of our small communities. Flagwood really is a very unique situation in extremely property tax poor. I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I do know that there is so much of their geographical land that is tax exempt. It makes it very, very, very difficult for them to keep up with the projects that are needed, both, and really this comes down to a safety issue like their pond system did. Some of these roads and bridges are becoming quite dangerous, and this would be a tremendous support for them. So I appreciate your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Sandsteed. With that, Representative Herb renews her motion that House File 584 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. All right, members, next up on the agenda, we have House File 280 from Representative Erdahl. Can I get a motion to move House File 280 before the division?
Representative Hertaz moves House File 280 for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you. Representative Hertaz moved House File 280 before the division. So now we have the bill before us. Representative Erdahl, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and always good to be in a committee that you are chairing. In the last October bonding bill, $5 million was included for the construction of a wellness center in Litchfield. The match for this is to come from a local option sales tax. This facility will benefit Litchfield and the surrounding area in many ways. Recreation, economic development, our school system. I have a testifier today who as a high school band director helped keep me in line. As Mayor of Litchfield, he is continuing that task. Mayor Keith Johnson of Litchfield.
Mayor Johnson, I'm sure you could tell us some stories. We'll have to hear those offline. But Mayor Johnson,
you really don't have enough time for me to do that.
Thank you. Mayor Johnson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yeah, Madam Chair and House Tax Committee, I appreciate the time. And again, I'm Mayor Keith Johnson, Litchfield, Minnesota. And Dean Erdahl's marching band instructor in 1967, a few years back. But Litchfield is the county seat of Meeker County, and we're, as Representative Erdahl said, we were a recipient of the $5 million bond, which we're very appreciative for our Wellness Rec Center to be hopefully constructed in the near future. In January of 2020, our City Council sent a resolution to the State House Minnesota Tax Committee requesting a 0.5% sales tax. And we did receive permission to put it on our 2020 general election ballot. And in 2020, due to COVID, I guess this was put on hold, of course. And in January of 2021, our council voted again to ask for the request to approve from the Minnesota House Tax Committee to put the 0.5% sales tax for Litchfield and surrounding demographic area on the 2022 general election ballot. And this project will be beneficial to the residents, not only of Litchfield, but also our four-county demographic area. Litchfield will need the 0.5% sales tax to enable us to complete a $10 to $12 million wellness recreation facility, hopefully to begin construction in 2023. Litchfield, and according to Eller's public financial advisor out of Roseville, we secured them to do a feasibility study on the possible revenue of a 0.5% sales tax yearly. And they determined that it would secure around $400,000 a year. And we would repay that. That would repay a $6 million debt over 20-year period. 60% of that debt would be paid by our residents and 40% of the regional demographic area around Litchfield. Of course, once this is built, our taxpayers are going to have to probably suffer a little bit of deficit each year from this building, which we are more than willing to get at. I just would like to let you know that on a property tax situation, it would be very difficult for us to do that because in 2018, our school district asked and received a $32 million construction education project. And this increased our property tax quite substantially for our school district and our Litchfield residents. And so this would make not having this sales tax difficult for us to ask for property tax to do this. Now, we do have a $5 million bond, which we're again appreciative. So we're going to add another $6 million to this, hopefully, with the sales tax over a 20-year period. And I stand for questions.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. Members, any questions for Representative Erdahl or Mayor Johnson? Mayor Johnson, I did hear you say that the school district is going to be a partner in this project. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, I think we would ask the school district to be a partner in this project. Out in Litchfield, we have a civic arena, which is just across the street from the school district. And I think the school district would be asking for a referendum to build a swimming pool onto this wellness rec center, which we are in negotiations with at this time. And the last time they asked for the referendum, the vote went down 1,000 to 1,500. So there's a lot of, interest out in our community and our district to have a swimming pool. So this would add a lot to our Wellness Rec Center. If we were to put a swimming pool on this Wellness Rec Center, we'd have to ask for a lot more money for the sales tax. So we're hoping that'll work, and we have a great area there where we can put it. It'll be accessible to every generation, old people, young people, babies, whatever you want.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, any other questions?
Again, thank you, Representative Erdahl, for introducing me, and also to the Tax Committee and Madam Chair for having us. We look forward to a positive reaction to our request.
Thank you. Representative Erdahl, any final comments?
No, thank you very much. Appreciate your consideration and thank the mayor for coming along today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember who moved the bill. I think it was it Representative Hertas
Madam
that
Chair,
moved it?
Madam Chair, Representative Hertas renews his motion to move House File 280 for possible inclusion into a division report.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. With that, House File 280 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The final bill on the agenda is Representative Ackland for House File 494. Can I get a motion to move House File 494 before the division?
So move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves House File 494 before the division. And with that, Representative Ackland, please to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 494 relates to taxation, authorizing the City of St. Peter to impose a local sales and use tax. If approved by the voters at a general election, the City of St. Peter would be allowed to impose by ordinance a sales and use tax of 0.5% for the purpose of paying the cost of collecting and administering the tax and paying for up to $9,121,000 for construction of a new fire station, plus an amount needed for securing and paying debt service on bonds issued to finance the project. These taxes will expire at the earlier of either 40 years, or 2, when the City Council determines that the amount received is sufficient to cover the cost of the project. Madam Chair, there are 2 testifiers who will be speaking on behalf and in support of this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I have on my list just one testifier, but Chuck Zerman, Mayor of St. Peter. Mayor, do you want to introduce yourself for the record and proceed?
Yeah, I am Chuck Zeman, Mayor of St. Peter. We do have with me today Ed Johnson, who's a council member and also a 15-year veteran of our volunteer St. Peter Fire Department. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We are requesting a 0.5% increase in our local sales tax, and we're asking this for the purpose of the, as Representative Ackland said, for a $9.1 million new facility that would house our fire department. We are asking that this be put on the ballot for this fall because we have our local elections for the city in odd numbered years. This opportunity would give the people of St. Peter an option as to how to pay for the fire hall. Our current fire hall is located in a corner lot in downtown on 2 very busy streets. The 7,200 square foot building is situated on a 25,108 square foot site, or 0.58 acres. This building has been used as a fire hall since 1958. It started its life as a county garage in 1929. So someone earlier had said something about their buildings were getting old. They were 30 and 35 years old. Well, now we're in a building that's 92 years old. The structure still has some useful life, but its useful life as a fire hall is diminished or does not exist. For a reference, in 1958, when this building was taken over by the city to house the fire department, St. Peter had a population of approximately 8,000. Our next estimates would be pretty close that our population should be right around 12,000. The city has conducted an independent feasibility study. The study shows a need of a facility of 22,000 plus square feet on a 5-acre site. This site is needed to improve safety and response time. The city has purchased a 4.6-acre site on the west central part of our current edge of the city. Our future growth, if you are familiar with St. Peter, has to go and will probably go to the west. We really have nowhere else to go. The new facility is needed because we can no longer meet the safety requirements, just not only of residents for fire trucks coming and going, but also for our firefighters. There are decontaminants and decontamination equipment that is needed to take care of carcinogens. We do not have that facility available in our current, we don't have that available in our current facility. We currently have 36 members, all volunteer. The facility would also be used for training. Right now, because of COVID, they can't meet at the fire hall on their monthly or weekly meetings. We need to go to a building down at the fairgrounds, Nicholls County Fairgrounds, where they are able to social distance for their meetings. The building also would provide training facilities. And also one of the big things is our equipment that we're looking in the future can no longer be housed in this type of building, not mainly because of the footprint, but because of the wall size. And to change any of this would be very, very expensive. Our current overall sales tax rate is 7.375%. This half percent, therefore, would add it to our total of 7.875%, which would be equal to our biggest neighbor to the south, 10 miles away, approximately Mankato. We have secured, we will not bond for this, we have secured a maximum 2.25 loan and up to a 40-year amortization if needed through the USDA. We use the same financing mechanism when we added to our hospital, city-owned hospital here in town. One of the main reasons we're here, and I heard it on the gentleman from Floodwood, when they said about 37% of the property in St. Peter is exempt. We have a college by the name of Gustavus Adolphus, and we have the Minnesota Security Hospital. I guess I better use the proper name. Sorry about that. St. Peter Regional Treatment Center. That also is a big exempt mass of property. We are looking at payments at the 2.25%. We are looking at principal and interest payments of right around $380,000 a year. That $380,000 by our latest estimates could be made up by approximately $260,000 by the half percent sales tax. And the balance would either have to be levied against property or out of our general fund, of which LGA and everything else goes into to help pay for some of the items that the city needs on a yearly basis. So with that, I think I have mentioned everything I wanted to mention. And if you have any questions, Mr. Johnson is here to give you some technical things. But other than that, we are open to any questions.
Councilmember, thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Johnson, sorry I didn't have you on my list. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Edward Johnson. Like the mayor said, I've been on the fire department for 15 years. I'm also on city council for 3. I'm going to touch base a little bit on the safety items at the old fire station. For one thing, the trucks are pretty much parked bumper to bumper. If we need to work on one, we have to move to another one in some cases. The biggest reason, we don't have bathroom facilities so we can take showers after fires. So if I go into a fire, I get back to the station and take off my big gear. I pretty much get dirty inside anyway. And so I got to take that home to my house instead of taking showers at the station to get cleaned up with all the plastics and stuff now involved in fires. And that's the main thing I wanted to say for safety reasons for the firefighters. If anybody's got any questions about the department, I can help out with that. Thank you.
Thank you, council member. Members, any questions for the mayor, the council member, or Representative Ackland?
Mike Kiffle.
Just a moment, Representative, just waiting for questions. I did have one quick one, Mayor. I know, one, I want to say, Councilmember, I truly do appreciate wanting a new building for the showers and the carcinogens. That has been a huge issue that's been brought to light in the recent years, and you deserve a safe place to be at work. And I can imagine having a fire station on the corner of a busy intersection trying to get out to fires makes it much harder. So I greatly appreciate that. The one question I have, I understand you're not bonding for this, but have you thought about going to 1% to get that down below 40 years?
Mayor? Yes. Mayor Zeman. Yes, the council discussed that. Actually, I had proposed going to 0.75. By the response that we had last year, we did this last year on the House level. The response that I got from the rest of the council, or the council voted on, is that we would present a 0.5. The 0.75 would have pretty much taken care of all of the debt service over a 40-year, but the consideration really wasn't for the length of time, I'll be honest. It was more for how much the balance between how to pay for it more than anything else. Council Member Johnson and I were there last year when we appeared in person, I got the feeling from some of the people on the committee last year that, boy, you know, can't you guys pay for some of this on your own? You know, do you have to ask for this much sales tax in order to do this? So that's kind of what the council had settled on earlier this year, late last fall when we talked about this.
Thank you, Mayor. It is a different committee, and I am really worried about the 40 years. I don't know if, I hate to ask nonpartisan staff on the spot, but I don't know, is there any other loss provision in the state that's 40 years long? Ms. Hagler or anybody on nonpartisan staff?
Madam Chair, Alex Hagler, House Research. I would have to double check, but it does seem a little bit long to me, but I'll have to double check and get back to you.
Thank you, Ms. Hagler. Mayor.
Yeah, we aren't, if I understood your question, we are not asking for the sales tax for the 40-year. We're looking at somewhere to make it more feasible on a yearly basis that we could take care of it that way. The 40-year is the ultimate. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to go with, but it is available to us.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, and I do also appreciate the fact that, 37% of your property is tax exempt. That makes it tough. Members, any other questions? Representative Acklin, final comments.
I'd just like to thank all of our firefighters in St. Peter. They're all volunteer, even our fire chief. They do a great job. We do need a new fire hall. No doubt about that. I would just like to thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee members for hearing and considering House File 494 today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ackland. With that, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 494 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. Thank you, members, for the work today. Really appreciate you being here when it's not our normal committee time. Next Wednesday, we will be meeting at our normal time slot. And then once again, next Thursday, we'll be taking over the tax committee time slot at 1 p.m. to finish up our work on the wonderful world of local option sales tax. Until then, we are adjourned.